Welcome to the Business Growth Podcast with me, Kevin Miller. On this podcast, you're going to hear some awesome interviews from business leaders, experts, and entrepreneurs as they share their story, their journey, and some expert tips and insight of the things they've learned along the way. So sit back, enjoy, learn, and grow. And thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining me. I've got another exciting show today. I have Erin McEnroe with me. Erin's here to talk about breath work and I guess what it is, the benefits of it to you as an individual and more importantly as a business owner, and just the types of things that you can use that for to better yourself as a result, as a byproduct, I guess, better your business. So Erin's with me. Good afternoon, Erin. How are you?
Great, Kevin. How are you?
Yeah, wonderful. And I must say, we did just take a couple of breaths there before we came on air.
We did.
So look, breath work has been one that we've been wanting to have a chat about for a long time, actually. I think it's very relevant to individuals, but business owners in particular, as far as, you know, the types of things that you can do to, I guess, to make yourself more mindful, to give yourself more clarity, and just overall well-being. So look, tell us a bit about breath work, please, Erin.
Breath work, first and foremost, I would have to say, is a healing modality where we are using the breath. When you come for a breath work session, we would have an interview first and we would go right back to your birth. So we go right back to the beginning of your life.
How does that work then? When you say going back, how do you mean your birth? Do you make you reflect on it? Or
We ask information about your birth.
Oh, wow. Right, okay.
So the birth is what we would call the first trauma. So We all hold whatever we've experienced in our lives, we hold in our body. And it is held in the body on a cellular level. The body remembers everything that's ever happened. And that's why we go right back to birth. So
right to the beginning, basically.
Yeah, basically. You would maybe make a call to your mum and just say, "Mum, can you tell me a bit about my birth? I'm going to have a breathwork session.
Right. That's what I was trying. Yeah.
Wow, and that's really nice. You know, it's nice to then connect with your mum about your birth and maybe there's things that you never knew.
That's nice. Just before we even talk about the breathwork, Erin, that's something that you never even think to do, eh? I would be really curious to call my mum and ask her about my birth. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I'd say your birth was quick, Kev, because things happen for you rather quickly.
But it's going to, now that you've said that, sorry to go for a tangent, but now that you've said that, I'm actually going to ask my mum because it's something that you should know, isn't it?
It's good information to know because your birth actually holds a lot of information about the way that you are in life now.
Yeah.
So for me, my birth was very fast.
Yep.
And when I put my mind to something, it happens quickly. It happens fast.
Yeah.
And it really is relative. When you do come for your session, you have the interview, it will unravel. You will realize that your birth is very relative to your life now, today.
So we'd come for an interview as far as the very early stages, the very first introduction to breath work as a client then in that respect. And so, so part of the process would be the very beginning, get to know, you know, find out a bit about your birth.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting phone call or conversation for most people, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then what, use that information and bring that back to someone like yourself and have a chat about it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So once we know a little bit more about you, then we will take you to lay down. We do the breath work laying down. We cover you up with blankets so that you're comfortable and you're warm and you're cozy. And then we get you breathing. So the breathing, it's in and out of the mouth and it's what we call conscious connected breathing. And it's kind of, if you had an image of it, it would be circular. So there's no pause at the top or the bottom of the breath. So it's a continual breathing. And what we're doing is we're expanding our chest and our tummy at the same time. And we are just continually breathing. And when we go into that kind of breath rhythm, I guess you'd call it, what happens is that the mind naturally disengages and we drop into our body.
Is it like a state when you refer to us? Is it a state?
Yeah, it is. You are in a slightly altered state, but you're very conscious. You know what's going on. You can hear what the breath worker is saying. The breath worker will also guide you through the breath work process. Now, some people who are experiencing anxiety, or they might be in their heads a lot, a person that really is overthinking.
I think that's probably very current right now as well, because we've been isolated and you're spending a lot of time with yourself, maybe. You're doing a lot of thinking yourself as well. So that's probably, if anything, it's probably more common now than it's ever been, really.
Yeah. So when we breathe, we're also, what we're doing is we're accessing different levels of our consciousness. And another word for consciousness, that kind of gets bandied around, and I think it confuses people. Consciousness is basically, it's awareness.
Yes, okay. Like awareness of yourself or awareness of your surroundings? Or
It's a bit deeper than that. So it would be, let's say, just layers of ourselves. Like we are innately wise, for example, but some of us might not be acting with our wisdom.
Yeah, you've got the wisdom, but they're not using it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So breath work allows these qualities, if you like, to come into the light of consciousness. So what we're essentially doing is we are kind of waking up what's unconscious and we are bringing it into the light of consciousness.
It sounds to me you could wake a sleeping giant in some capacity. You know, with some people, you know, with some people, they've probably got real things dormant as far as, you know, not positive things to bring out. I don't mean negative things. I mean positive things.
Absolutely.
It can encourage positive things to come out of people.
Well, we all are giants, really, if you want to use that analogy.
Yeah.
We are.
I don't know if it's the right analogy or not.
No, it's fine. You know, nothing's wrong, nothing's right. You know, it just is what it is. But it is quite a good analogy because we're not just a body. That's the other thing. I think we're very caught up in this day and age in our physicality. We kind of tend to identify with ourselves only on a physical level. Now, when you become more conscious that you are more than just a body, that is quite a revelation.
Yeah, I can imagine it.
It is a real revelation. Yeah.
And that's a strong word, eh? Revelation it is. It would be quite an awakening, eh?
It is. It truly is. And so, you know, we are not just a body. We have an energetic field. We are energy, essentially. Plus we have energy around us, which is connected to everything. This is big stuff, you know?
It's quite...
You know, a lot.
I guess if you weren't sort of using a method to encourage that or to harness that or to be aware of that, you might never know it existed.
Yeah.
You know, some people would probably go through their whole lives, you know, it doesn't matter if it's business or just as individual, just for your happiness or your well-being, I guess. Some people might go through their whole lives not knowing these things are even in them, and they might never come out. So I guess using that type of healing process as a means of finding out a bit more about yourself and finding out about what's lying beneath, I guess.
Yeah, it's inner work. You know, you're really diving deep into who you are, who you truly are, not just what you kind of project to the world.
Yeah, and there's so much external influences. As a person, as a human, as a human being, I guess. There's so many external influences that probably shape the way that you think you are, maybe as well. But if you're actually getting to know your real self, I guess, then you're actually going to find out who you really are, maybe not who you're projecting yourself to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's something that is like, you know, well-being and clarity of mind and just people on a personal level. It's something that's always interested me, definitely. And it's interesting hearing the language that you use, actually. The language that you use is really quite strong language. You know, it's strong in a positive sense, as far as you're bringing a good change about, you know, maybe not even a change. You're just bringing something out of yourself you never knew was there. And like, so going back to, you start at the beginning. So you do the as part of the process, you go back to childbirth or you go back to your own personal childbirth.
Yeah.
How does that information form the basis for the actual healing process? You know, because we'll all have different childbirths, I guess. Yes. All very different ones. So yeah. So we mentioned, like you suggested, mine might be quick, yours was quick. Some people might have a slower one, some people might have a more painful birth.
Yes.
Longer. Yeah. How does each of those circumstances, how does that determine the process ongoing?
When a person embarks on a breathwork process, they will actually unravel that themselves. And they will have an understanding of it, yeah. You know. So, for example, if someone was very stuck
yes.
in the birth canal,
yeah.
they might find themselves stuck in life.
In life, yeah.
It's just kind of, but once you've unraveled it, mm-hmm. once you've unraveled your birth and perhaps some of your accumulated, well, let's just for the moment call it negative experiences that life throws up to us, you know, conditioning from our parents, conditioning from society, our schooling, you know, we're quite shut down mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. We don't really get to be at our potential. There are people out there that have had that, and I think that's fantastic and it's great. But just generally speaking, most people have experienced trauma that, you know, we come into this life not just to coast along, really. We're going to have bumps along the way. Yeah. Now, that, let's call it contrast, okay? So mm-hmm. contrast as opposed to, you know, coasting along and having, quote unquote, perfect life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So quite often that contrast will actually be the kicker that will get us moving into looking for something more.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
want something more. We know that that's not ideal.
Yeah.
So it actually motivates us to move.
Yeah, you're now seeking it or something.
Yes, some people get stuck there
mm-hmm.
and they don't know how to get out of that.
Yeah.
And that can sort of be a bit victim sort of mentality happening there.
Because I think people in general, cannot speak from my own experience, but I think if somebody does get stuck, there's only a certain amount of things that somebody looks to do to change that. The normal things to do, the things that everybody's aware of maybe, rather mm. than, like breath work's not something I was aware of until I'd met yourself
mm-hmm.
and until Gail, my wife, had been involved in it. But had I not known you, mm-hmm. I might not have been aware that was something, or sorry, maybe more so in Gail's circumstance, had she not known you, she might not have known that she can engage in mm-hmm. the process. Whereas there's a lot of things, there's a lot of stuff bandied about things you can do, and there's loads of other things that people can do, but it's knowing that it's available to you and the benefits of it and where to find it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we can sort of like, that's kind of a good segue to talking about the law of attraction. Now, if someone is, and I can also use some radio terminology here, where we are not just a body, we're vibrational beings.
Yeah.
In a vibrational universe, we are broadcasting vibration all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you find yourself, let's say you go to a party, you walk into the room and you kind of looking around and seeing who's there, and you will be kind of attracted to a certain type of person in the room.
You'll gravitate to somebody.
You will gravitate towards someone. Mm-hmm. Now that someone will probably be a vibrational match for you. And, you know, you might meet someone and think, well, I'm going to stay well away from that person. And they haven't even spoken a word to you, but you can feel, you can feel that their vibration is not what you want to engage with, mm-hmm. you know. So you might stay away from that person and gravitate to other people that you're more matched with.
It's so simple. We make things so complicated sometimes.
We do.
It's so simple when you put it in that context. Really.
Yeah.
You know, you get a feel for someone, don't you? And is that the feeling that you're,
It's a vibration. That's what you're picking up on. That is the very first thing that we pick up on. You can use that same example with animals and things. You know, some mm-hmm. people are just great with animals and animals gravitate towards them and kind of show no fear. It's because that person, I would suggest, would be broadcasting a vibration of openness, of love, mm-hmm. of gentle kindness, and so the animals feel safe, you know.
Would you class that as an energy? Is that an energy?
It's energy.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
It is, it's energy. And so, you know, the reason why people would come to a breath worker is because they feel it is something that they're attracted to.
Yeah.
They're seeking, they're ready for it.
And you can, surely you can change your energy. Surely you can change.
Oh yeah.
You know, you don't, if you're if you're not a positive person, for instance, you know, we're not all wake up every morning and it's sunshine and rainbows. We don't feel like that. The larger percentage of people probably feel the opposite.
Yeah.
But it's something that you can, you're not stuck. Like you said earlier, you can use these means and these processes to actually change your course and change your energy and change your vibrations and change your whole being. Your whole,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Your whole being literally can change, and it can change permanently. Once you've unraveled the things that are no longer serving you, the things that are unhelpful in your life, things that you might be holding on to, old stories.
And how do you, you know, the unraveling part of it, right? That's something I'm curious about. So, because we've all got, I guess, totally, we'll have similar things to unravel. There'll be certain people that have similar traumas or similar histories, but there'll also be very unique things that each person has.
Yeah.
But unraveling them, and can you give me an example of like what you mean, like to unravel it?
When a person is in a breathwork process, what tends to happen is that, because, you know, we are actually streaming life force energy, which is called prana.
Yeah.
It's life force energy. It's what we breathe. Mm-hmm. We are breathing life force energy, but we're doing it in a conscious way. So when the mind disengages, the energy is flowing through the body. As a breath worker, we can see that the person is in process. We relax you so that you can go into a deep process. And then we can start actually talking to your body. We actually ask your body questions. And you use your voice to answer what it is that you're holding in your body.
Yeah.
So we will have specific questions that we may ask you. And whatever it is will come out.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it surprises people.
Yeah, I can imagine it would. Yeah, I can imagine
it does.
It would be quite enlightening.
Yeah,
it'd be quite enlightening.
And there are physical things that are happening within the body. So I might say to someone, "So how are you feeling in your body right now?" And they might say, "I've got a really sharp pain in my shoulder."
Yeah.
Well, that could be the body remembering something.
Yeah. Okay.
Birth.
Yeah, yeah.
An accident.
Yeah, anything from history or anything.
It could be anything. It could be anything. But the body, you know, the mind plays all kinds of trickery and gets us into all kinds of...
Because I reckon that's the hardest. I reckon for a lot of people, one of the hardest things is, to use your phrasing, is disengage your mind. That's hard to just get your brain to stop, like to switch off or to... Like that's something, to be really honest, that's something I struggle with. I'm 100 miles an hour. I could sit here and talk to you, and I could be talking to you, and we could be having a conversation, but I could be thinking about 100 things right now, and my brain just never stops. And there's only certain things that I can do as a person, and this is, I'm talking about my own experience. I have to exercise. When I exercise, I can remove my mind from everything and anything. I can be in the zone in what I'm doing, and I find that works for me. I find that I can, you know, disengage my mind, I guess, doing that. But it's so hard. It's such a hard thing to do for anyone. It's regardless if it's work or doesn't matter what it is. It's like there's so many things and you're thinking about, you know, you could be a mum and you could be running about after your kids and thinking about swimming lessons and all the carry on and all the trappings of daily life.
Yeah.
That your brain just never stops. And to actually have that disengagement, to find a way of doing it it's quite liberating. Do you know what I mean? It'd be very liberating for people as part of that process.
Yeah, it's extraordinarily liberating. It really is. So can you imagine the relief that you would feel after a breathwork session?
Yeah, well, that's I can, yeah.
When your mind has been disengaged for sometimes up to an hour, we'll be breathing. It is extraordinary. You get up from a breathe and you feel amazing. I can have people come in with a sore back. They'll lay down, they'll breathe for an hour, they'll get up and their back's fine.
The amazing thing is there's no fancy gadgets, there's no fancy gizmos, there's no any screens. It's the basic human exercise. And I'm saying basic, that's probably a bit disrespectful, but it's breathing. It's normal. It's a normal thing that you do.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that you can... It's amazing. I mean, I've not been through the process. It's really interesting to me. It's to do something at that level, so simple, really.
It is very simple.
To achieve what you can achieve based on what you're telling me, to achieve disengagement of your mind, to achieve clarity, to achieve the unraveling of trauma.
Yes.
To be able to do that just by a basic exercise of breathing is quite exciting, actually.
It's very exciting.
It's quite exciting.
And it's endlessly fascinating. Mm. As a breath worker, no two sessions are ever the same. More and more unraveling occurs for each person. Like, I had a person recently just say to me, I cannot believe that I've been breathing for 50 minutes and not one thought has come into my head.
I've done the meditation thing, right?
Yeah.
And there's some times that I could lie and do a meditation and I could completely zone out.
Yeah.
But more, the higher percentage of the times that I would do it, I wouldn't be able to zone out. For whatever reason, it just, for that process for me, I just can't, and again, it's that disengaging your mind. I just can't remove my head from everything. And there's still a thought, or there's still a, again, I'm talking about my own experiences.
Yeah,
but,
of course, yeah.
But like, my parents and I come over here and I've got Scotland and stuff, and they'll say to me, you get so tired, or you go to your bed early. And, you know, and but that's my way of closing my mind off. In some ways, it was my only way of closing my mind off, is actually to close my eyes and put it off altogether. Yeah. And I've gradually found other means to be able to do it with exercise, and I've tried meditation, and I feel I'm in a better place myself anyway, but just people struggle to switch off. You know, they struggle to switch, especially in work and especially in business. It's like, it's 100 miles an hour. You're on call all the time. Your phone's going. You've got emails to deal with. If you're not working, you're worried about work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need a release. You need a way of removing your brain and actually having that clarity. And that's partly why it really interests me, because I've lived through that busy period where constantly on.
Yeah.
Constantly on, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're not on and you realize that you're not on anymore, it's really, and again, the liberating thing, but you think, Christ, it's like, I'm like a different person. You're clear. You feel clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes we will engage in certain habits like overthinking, and it actually, what it does is it distracts us from going deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So you give yourself the time to do breath work, the mind disengages because you are so focused on the breath, and the body tends to almost find its own rhythm and almost is a feeling like it's breathing itself.
Yeah.
And things are happening in the body. And as I said to you before, we are talking to the body. We're listening to the body. We're actually not interested in what is going on in the mind. We're not interested in that. We want the body to tell its story. We want the body to communicate what it's holding, because a lot of the time what we're holding is what's holding us back.
Yeah.
You know, it's stopping us from moving forward.
But that's that cellular level of thing again.
That's
what you said about at the beginning. You said about you know, from birth, it's a cellular level. It's when you're first born.
Yes.
And then that cell is bringing out the cellular reactions in your body. The things are coming out your body.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can say my lineage of breathwork, where it comes from, we honor the birth.
Yeah.
Not every breathwork, there are different types of breathwork modalities, and they're all great. You know, I'd say if you're engaging in any kind of breathwork, it's better than not engaging in breathwork at all. In our lineage, we are honouring the birth, because that is where it all started for us.
Yeah.
So it's important.
And would it work? Do you think it's breathwork? Yeah. Would it work? Do you think it works for everyone? Is it something that everyone is receptive to?
I think if you're receptive to it, I think if you can get to a breath worker's place of work and you manage to step through the door.
Yeah. You're on the right track.
You are ready.
Yeah.
Do you know? Because you will find 100 excuses not to go. We call this resistance.
Yes.
You will find 100 reasons not to go if you're not ready for it.
I think that's people in general. It doesn't matter, like, again, with the business, because it's obviously a business subject, but if you don't make the decision and actually bloody act on it, if you don't act on what you say you're going to do, have that. When you act on that thought, you know, that initial thought, when it first comes in your head, if you act on it, you'll get results. Something will happen from it.
Yes.
Whereas if you don't act on it, you put it in the back of your head and you might never look at it ever again.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess it's the same with anything that's healing, with your decision making.
Yeah.
With, you know, it's
yeah. And, humans. You know, this is the thing that's a really important factor as well, is that thought is creative. Your quality of thought is actually influencing what is showing up in your reality. A person who was holding that they are going to experience things showing up in their lives that's vibrational match. So when we bring what's unconscious into the light of consciousness, then we can actually consciously change the quality of our thoughts.
Yeah, because you're aware of them all.
You're aware of them now. Yeah. So you're aware of it. Mm-hmm. The other thing that it does is that you tend to start listening to the content of what goes around and around in your head.
Then
you can say, well, that's not great, and I'm not sure if I really want to hold that thought anymore. Mm-hmm. Then there's this whole awareness, you know, comes into play. Where,
is it chemical? Is it a chemical? Is it a chemical reaction, do you reckon, in your body?
It would have to be, Kevin, It would have to be. You know, I mean, it engages the parasympathetic nervous system. It literally cools your nervous system down. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there's endorphins and dopamine things. As you're able to let go, your mind's disengaged, you're in a deep state of relaxation, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It would be.
See if, relating to the business owners, which is partly the audience that's listening. So just relating to the business owners then. Yeah. So obviously it's very clear listening about the clarity of mind, and you know there's a lot of benefits to doing, to being involved in the process of breath work, which my understanding just based on the conversation would be that you're going to have clarity of mind. Mm. Yeah, it's going to improve your performance because of that clarity of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Your thought processes are clearer and maybe more focused on, you know, outcomes and objectives and goals because of that clarity of mind as well. What other sort of things would you, like relaxation, well-being, is there other things that you would?
Well, what I'd say first of all is that when we dive deeply into our own personal growth, it affects our whole lives.
Yeah.
It's going to affect your family life. It's going to have a great effect on your relationships. It's going to have a great effect with your co-workers. Basically, anyone that comes into contact with you is going to also benefit from the work that you've done.
Yeah.
Because
I guess you're putting that different energy out as well.
Yeah.
Because you've changed your energy, you're putting out positive energy.
Absolutely. So, and this is the other interesting thing. The cells of our body are entrained to the highest vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are with someone who is in high vibration, you are going to naturally want to meet that person.
Yeah.
They might not be able to quite get where you are in that moment because they might not be feeling it, but you will affect the cells of their body for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. So yeah, so with a business person, all of what you said, it improves focus, performance, clarity of mind. It also, you're letting go of unhelpful thought processes. That kind of brings forth your natural courage. So you would tend to back yourself.
Yeah.
Your intuition is sharp. So when a decision needs to be made, you're onto it.
See, I always think about stuff. I feel there's days where I have a foggy head. You know?
Yes.
And I do, and I always say that to Gail. I say, my head's foggy. I need to run or I need to do something. I'm foggy. I need to clear my head so that I can focus. That's exactly what that process is going to do and more. It's going to clear that foggy head. It's going to make you get up in the morning and actually ready to take on the world rather than worrying about things that you don't need to worry about.
Absolutely. I mean, we recommend 10 sessions. That is what we would consider a whole process. Now, the way that I work fortnightly because that's what works with my life.
Yep.
I'm also a business owner, so I'm busy with my business 5 days a week. But every Monday fortnight, I dedicate it to breath work and to people that are interested in breath work and doing breath work.
What has it done for you, Erin? So, your experience is probably your experience is probably your own experience is something that you can talk about obviously openly, but it's something you can really relate to because you've done it and you can see the results of it. And
yes,
so I'm interested about, you know, you don't need to tell us everything.
Oh,
but
we're here, Kev. You know, come on, let's dive deep.
No, what's the energy like? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's great. The energy's great in this room. It's fantastic. I'm loving it.
It's like one of those. I met somebody that. Sorry, I'm going off a tangent.
Yeah,
I met somebody the other day, and they're a body confidence coach. You know, it's like, and it's really interesting. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, God, I wonder if they're reading my body language the whole time.
Am I being read?
Am I being read? I don't know. You know, and it's like sitting, we're talking about these things and I'm thinking, what, you know, I'm self-reflecting as I'm talking to you. I'm going, I wonder what my energy is like.
What are they thinking of me?
No, but just, you know,
Do you know, Kev, how you know?
Yeah.
Does it feel good in the room right now?
Yeah, I'm having fun, yeah.
High energy. Yeah, it's high vibration. That's where we're at right now.
I suppose, yeah.
You know, so if it feels good.
Yeah, then it's right.
Then it's right. Yeah. If it doesn't feel good, slip away.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'd say.
It's the thing
that
you said about the thing at the beginning. It's you gravitate towards certain energy. You gravitate towards certain types of people, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you get your spidey senses on if you don't like somebody, I guess,
as
well, you know.
That's right.
And it's a real thing. It's actually a real thing.
It's a real thing. Yeah. And we all know it. It's just not really something that we're conscious of because we haven't explored that, you know. So we're exploring it now. And in my own exploration, pretty much with me, back to your question, I kind of was very stuck, got into a bit of a funk in my life. And I was just like, wow, I really, really want to change the way I'm doing life. I'm just not happy. I'm not satisfied. I feel like I'm on this kind of like treadmill of just the same-o stuff going on. I was engaging with behaviors that are probably not very helpful or positive. And so I had a breath worker's phone number, and I had that phone number for about 8 months before I called.
Wow.
Because I knew, I guess, on some level, on a cellular level, that when I made that call, that my life was going to change.
Yeah, and it's making that change is a massive step for some people, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, people might want to join the gym.
Mm-hmm.
It might take them 6 months to actually do it. You
That's
know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So you get to a stage, a person will seek out a breath worker when they are fed up.
Yeah.
When they're fed up.
They've kind of exhausted all their other resources, is that?
You know, whatever it might be.
Like you mentioned the personal growth thing. I mean, it might just be my age because might just be because I'm getting older. I don't know, but personal growth wasn't something, it's not something you talk about at school as a kid. It's not something you learn when you're young.
No.
It's not something that your parents are sitting telling you, really. Like some people, your parents encourage you. Personal growth and getting to know yourself and actually, you know, those types of things, it's coming quite, I don't want to say faddy because I believe that it's beneficial, but it's becoming very much, it's becoming normal to learn about yourself.
Yeah.
And becoming normal and accepted to go and do these things.
Isn't it fantastic?
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. But but it's also frustrating when you meet people that are on the opposite side of that. Yeah, it's also frustrating when you meet people that aren't receptive to it and aren't, it's frustrating, but you've just got to accept that that's the way that these people are, you know? And
absolutely.
You can't, I guess you can't throw it down their throat either.
No. And look, I think you can hold compassion for someone who's holding on to something that you can clearly see is not working. On some level, maybe it is working for them because remembering not to sort of judge things too harshly, nothing's good, nothing's bad, nothing's wrong, nothing's broken.
It's a contrast thing you're talking
about. Yeah, no,
it?
Nothing's wrong, nothing's broken, nothing needs fixing, all is well. People are just where they are and they are where they need to be. So they might need to hit rock bottom before they finally say, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to do something. And it's not up to anyone to tell them when or where they should be in their lives.
No, and there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. There's
there
a lot
is,
of people with opinions and not, I don't, people, I don't mean friends. I mean more so in a professional sense or there's a lot of sort of, oh, you should do this and you should do that should do that. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this and
it's even, there's a subliminal messages come through to us via Instagram and Facebook telling us that our lives,
how we should look, what we should do, where we should be, what we should be doing.
Yeah.
But that, like that, a wee bit of tangent, but see, that was interesting about the thing you said about backing yourself. That's like, that's something, I think people, I look at people and go, you know, bloody back yourself. Yeah, go and do it. Encourage it. Do it. Do it. If you want to do something, go and bloody well do it.
Yes,
do it.
Yes.
Tell me an idea. Yeah, are you going to do it? Yes, I am. Do it. You know, I'm 100% behind people always.
Yep.
And I do feel myself I get nervous and I get anxious and I worry, but but that doesn't stop me from backing myself. It doesn't stop me from going through the exercise of taking action. It doesn't stop me from doing that. So the people that don't take the action, the people that don't, and it might be a business owner, maybe somebody just sitting listening now that are like, I want to start a business, but I've got this great idea, but I don't know what I don't feel like I can do it. Like, there's blockages there. There's a block there for stopping people from taking action one way or another.
Yeah.
And is that a mindset or is that the cellular level in your...
All of the above, I would suggest.
A bit of everything.
All of the above. You know, it's helpful to become aware of what those blocks are.
Yeah, and the only way to do that is to go find a process.
To dive deep.
To actually
have the courage to dive deep, you know. And I always say to people when they come, you know, I really honour you for being here because this is really...
It's a big step.
This is a huge step. It's a really courageous thing to do.
What's the sort of background to breathwork thing? So going back, you know, the history of it and where it comes from.
Well,
you spoke about the lineage.
Okay. So the lineage that is mine goes back to India. It goes back to a place called Harakan, which is in the foothills of the Himalayas in Uttar Pradesh, which is in northern India.
You went there.
I travelled there in 2012, I think it was. I was going to check my passport this morning to see when actually
I
was there.
I thought,
I bet you Kev will ask me this. Yeah, so,
I won't hold you to it.
Yeah. So look,
you've been there.
Yeah, that's where it came from. So there were two people that were from America that brought breathwork back to the West.
When? Like years? Like
In the 70s, in the early 70s, yeah. So, yeah, and that's kind of how it, I mean, I don't know how many people have gone through breathwork. There would be tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds, I don't know. I'm actually not sure of the statistics. But
it's not the type, I guess it's not like a normal... It's not like you're selling tickets. It's not like something that you're going to, you know, it's not like you're going to keep track of it. And it's like what we spoke about before, like you were talking about on the radio, for instance, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to promote it as such, as a commercialized thing, because...
No.
And that's what I'm trying to say. It's not a commercialized thing. It's a process that you want people to seek out based on them wanting to partake in it in the first place.
I want them to be a vibrational match for me personally and what I offer.
Yeah.
Now, there are quite a few breathworkers out there, and I would say if you're looking for a breathworker, you find someone that you feel is a match for you, and you'll know. You email them, you chat to them on the phone, and you kind of figure out if that's who you want to see. There's these kind of stepping stones that you... are walking on throughout life, you know, and it was that call that I made to my breath worker at the time.
How did you feel after you made the call? See, so you make the initial call. You must. What did you feel when you come off the phone?
I think probably I would have felt relief.
Yeah. Excitement.
I'm doing something. Oh, thank God, I'm doing something. I feel like, and even from the conversation with her, I felt like, oh, I'm in the right hands here.
So relief.
You know,
relief.
It was a relief in my system, knowing that
you're taking action.
I'm taking action. Yeah. I'm going to do something about this now. I'm fed up. I'm, you know, and then after a year of seeing my breath worker and having regular sessions, she said to me, the people that trained me, the original people that were in India in the 70s are coming to Perth and they're doing a 5-day kind of like seminar retreat, which if you can get the time off work and it's this amount of money, I can reserve a spot for you. And I was like, yep, count me in. When I did the 5 days with them, we did it in Fremantle, they invited anyone that was within that group if they wanted to come to India. They visit India every single year and they take people with them. And Harakan is a hard place to find. It's in the foothills of the Himalayas.
Yeah,
it's a difficult place to find. Once you get there, there's no village there. It's just an ashram and it's built on both sides of a river in like a ravine, like in a valley. And it is the most beautiful place. It is just so, so beautiful. And I was there for 10 days and I was there for Navaratri, which is like a festival of the Divine Mother. And the festival is all about purification. So I think the festival runs for 9 days. In that 9-day period, the idea is it's all about purifying. So it's all about letting go of what you want to let go of within that 9 days. And while I was there, I took the ultimate purification option because I thought, right, I'm
here.
If
you're going to do it, you might as well do it
well. I'm here. Yeah, I am diving into everything, you know, like so.
Yeah, good on you.
You know, your day starts at 5 a.m. You bathe in the river. It's freezing cold. It's water that's running off the icy Himalayas. It's totally, that wakes you up.
Yeah,
good morning, and it's still dark. You're under the stars.
But you must feel awesome after
it's incredible. And then you go up to the temple and you participate in aarti, which is a devotional kind of singing. And when I'm saying this, it might sound a bit religious, but it's actually religion neutral, this place. Like you can come from any walk of life, and you're welcomed with open arms. You know, it's a wonderful place.
Where in India then? Because it must go back long time.
Oh, yeah.
In India,
I would say that it's an ancient. I mean, people have used breath throughout. Look at childbirth, for example. Yeah, what is the most powerful thing that is happening physiologically for a woman is the breath, you know, it's just all so. But when I was there in India, they were offering mundan, which is where you actually shave your head.
That's right, I remember,
and a holy man shaves your head for you on the bank of the Ganga, which is like a tributary of the Ganges. So that is like the ultimate. Now that completely, they say that it slays your ego and it totally clears your mind. And I can honestly say that my mind was completely clear of chatter and what they call monkey mind, where your thoughts are just jumping around.
That's
like
a good term, monkey mind. That's a really good term. Awesome. Yeah.
So,
that's a really good term.
It completely, kind of, it's like having your head emptied. It's quite amazing, you know. So
I'm worried though. Now I'm worried at that point. I'm going, my head's clear. I'm worried. I'm hoping that I'm worried that it's going to not be clear forever.
Oh, don't worry. The ego slips back in.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like you get that awakening and that feeling of.
Oh, it's incredible.
You know, I can't explain it because I've not done it. But based on what you're smiling and based on your energy, I can tell it was a fantastic experience.
It was amazing.
But I'm worried that I'm listening to that going, oh yeah, but that's great. But then how long is it going to last? How long am I going to have it for? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, the thing is that you can't go through life in a kind of meditative, you know, kind of state. You'll crash your car. You'll get into all sorts of trouble. You know, that's why we allot time for our meditation, for our breathing. We can do that every day. Yeah. We can do a small practice of that every day. And then you just get on with your life, Kev. You know, you can't be into the hills and join the monks and disengage with society if you choose to
if you
wanted to, and you could actually live your days in that kind of.
I think that's why it's important to have like a routine, or important to make time for those things.
Yeah.
And it's make time for whatever it might be. And I keep referring to the exercise, but that's very much how I do it. But I think you have to make time for those things. You have to make time for mindfulness. You have to make time for exercise or well-being or personal growth. Like we said, like you make time for yourself and be present in what you're doing.
Read books.
It's just amazing. The mind is amazing, eh?
Yes.
But it's so connected, eh? But all the things you're saying is so simple, really. Like and I don't want to be disrespectful to the process, but it's basic human things, you know. It's basic human
function.
Function, yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah.
Basic but human you know, function. You're not being disrespectful, because the ashram where this particular lineage of breathwork comes from, Babaji, who is Harikan Baba, so he's the guru. He's not in his body anymore, so he's back in non-physical, but accessible. You know, if you want to ask for inspiration, it will come. His motto, if you like, or his mantra is truth, simplicity, love.
Yeah, true.
Those three things. So you're absolutely spot on. Like, it is simple. Mm. It's simple. We make it complicated.
Yeah.
We make everything complicated.
Make it too hard, yeah.
We exhaust ourselves, you know, and breath work is a very simple process where you get the opportunity to slow down, to become more mindful, to breathe, to unravel, to focus, to gain liberation, to get free of unhelpful thoughts, unhelpful behaviors, patterns that we get ourselves into. And a lot of the time, it is simply a distraction from what is truth, simplicity, and love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it goes back to those basic things.
Yeah, it's just a distraction. We will use so much energy to keep ourselves from the very thing that is going to completely change not only ourselves, our family, our friends, and ultimately the planet, you know, because when we all decide that we're going to raise our vibration, it actually has an effect on everything.
Yeah.
On everything.
On all your surroundings, on everywhere you are. And
so, you know, and this is something that I think also is probably worth talking about, is that people feel that it might be selfish to engage in just taking care of themselves and sitting in meditation and, you know, doing some breath work and whatever it is that they want to participate in. They might feel that spending that time on themselves is quite selfish. Now, it's not.
No, it's looked at differently, isn't it?
Yeah, because if your cup is not full, you are no good to anyone.
Yeah.
So it is allocating time in your day to take care of yourself. Self-care is paramount. Absolutely paramount.
And yeah, and self-care is something that as as an individual and as a business owner, self-care is something that if you make time for and you do yourself and you actually go through those processes, the benefits to you is going to be that you're going to feel better, but also benefit your business and benefit your overall well-being, basically, and those around you as well. It could be your staff, it could be your team, it could be it could be anyone that's in your environment. And
you're going to be a highly effective person
when
you are able to kind of get some clarity, get some focus, find your own courage, tap into that wisdom that's already there. We have so many layers that's untapped and uncharted. You can tap into that and become a highly effective person, you know, in your personal life, your professional life, in your relationships, all of it, you know.
Erin, look, it's been absolutely awesome having you. I've enjoyed the energy in the room.
Me too.
But it's been awesome. It's interesting chat, and it's important. It's actually, I think it's not so much interesting, it's important chat. It's important for people, albeit in this platform, business owners, but for people in general, to take interest in themselves, self-care, become a more efficient person, become a better person. And you know, it's really interesting to hear about breath work and how that can enhance that and encourage it and you know, make people better, essentially. So thanks very much, Erin.
You're very welcome. Would you like an email address for people that can contact me if
yes, please.
Yeah, so
how would we catch you?
It's info@breathworkwitherin.com.au.
Okay, so info@breathworkwitherin.com.au.
That's right.
No worries, Erin.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Business Growth Podcast. If you enjoyed it and you want to come back for more, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. You can catch up with me on social media on Facebook at Make My Business Better, Instagram at Business Growth AU, or you can jump on our website www.businessgrowthperth.com.au. See you next time.